You know, in the wintertime, we have a tremendous amount of visitors we do love, called the snowbirds or the northern visitors or the people smart enough to get out of the snow. The past 2 weeks, we've had some visitors that I don't really care much for, called the love bugs. If we could just find a way for our snowbirds to take care of the love bugs, we'd all be better off. Take them with them when they leave? That's a thought. If you can work that out for me, that'd be good. We pick up today in the book of Galatians. I want to finish out chapter 4 before we even start on chapter 5. It says this, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, the other by a free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born a result of divine promise." In verse 24 it says this, "These things are being taken figuratively, the woman representing two covenants. One covenant was from Mount Sinai, and bears the children who are to be slaves. That's Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she's in slavery with the children, but Jerusalem is above and free. She is our mother. For it is written, 'Be glad, barren women, that you never bore a child, for shout with joy and cry aloud. You were never born in labor because you were the mother of the desolate woman more than her husband.'" Dear God, give us strength this day to understand what Paul is meaning. And let us know the significance of mothers themselves. Kindly be with us, our country, our nation, those who are in foreign fields, military, the missionaries, those who are in need, and those who just need physical, emotional, spiritual help. Guide us to be your servants, Lord. Bless our country. May we once again know that you are the God and Jesus is our Savior. Be the speaker, I pray in Christ's name, amen. Paul refers back to Abraham's two sons, each coming from a different woman, a different type of woman. And Sarah had been the wife of his early years. Now he is up in his 90 plus, and she in her 70s going on 80. And all along, God had promised Abraham that he would be a fruitful nation, and his descendants would be like the sand of the sea, the stars in the sky. When I'm 67, and the thought of having a child at my age, well, that's why God gave us grandchildren, you know, so we can play with them and send them home. But the thought of having a child at 67 buzzes my mind and begs us, 5 hours with the granddaughters is enough for that day. But Sarah was near 80. The problem with Sarah was that she didn't believe God would do what he said he was going to do. She knew it was too late for her to have children. So she found another solution. And that's provide the slave woman to Abram to have a child by. You see, when we take something in our own hands, we take it out of God's hands, we may be disappointed with the results. Oh no, was Sarah not disappointed, but a little bit, but a whole lot. For that child born to Hagar, who she thought she would raise as her child, didn't happen. Hagar got very uppity about it. "It's my child. I could have one. You couldn't. La-di-da-di-da." I'm sure there was a lot of taunting going on. She questioned why she allowed herself to do that. Then God showed up one day with two of the angels, and he met, and Abram ordered a dinner prepared for him. And if you go out and have to catch a lamb and kill the lamb and dress the lamb and roast the lamb and cook the bread, you're going to have a time to talk. And they had a time to talk. Have you ever noticed around meals when you're not in a hurry, A lot more gets done. I was at a conference this weekend, and our Thursday night supper lasted from 6 till 9. Now, I didn't eat the whole time, but I did not eat. But we talked about a lot of things that our group is doing that we're enjoying. So the mealtime was good for them. And what was going on is that God told him, I'm going to keep my promise. This time next year, Sarah will be with a child. Sarah laughed. Me? Have a baby? You got to be kidding. Well, don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. And in that year's time, she became pregnant and she had the child. So you think everything's happy-pappy, everybody's in love, all's really good. Now I've got my child who will become Abram's favorite child. No, because Hagar couldn't let it go. And she pushed, and her son, about 12 years older, I would say became a bully. He was older. He didn't want that child around, taking his power and fame and love from his father away. And I think he just become a bully. Now, being born short and fat and growing up short and fat, I was bullied a lot. Now, those of you that are 6 foot taller, 6 foot or taller, even you women, do not know how much I envy you. So that was how I told them in Sunday school, if we get a new body in heaven, I want to be at least 6'3". Lady came up yesterday at the DAR member, and she gave me a hug. The problem is she put the top of her chin on my head. I kid you not. And pushed down real hard. So I'm bullied at 67. I'm still being bullied by tall, mean. Oh, no, she's not mean. She's a sweet lady. But it just, some of you know what I'm talking about. How's the weather down there? That's what I would hear. So I never took somebody's, how's the weather up there? Well, it didn't work. And God finally separated them. And we do know that Abram's child to Sarah was called Isaac. And he had a child in his older age called Jacob. Actually, twins, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob had the 12 sons. Each of those four mothers of the 12 sons and the one daughter had special characteristics about them. You see, the first wife he was tricked into marrying. If you take the Hebrew word literally, Joe, I have to. Her name was Leah, which means cow face. Now, any of you all have seen a cow other than Elsie Borden, the Borden cow? Elsie, remember Elsie growing up? She might be cute with those big brown eyes, but other than that, most cows are just absolutely ugly. Big old long snout and everything. So to name the child cow face, she grew up with she was probably teased a lot. And Jacob, being in love with her younger sister Rachel, who was named Ewe face or sheep face, I guess. I don't know. Our third one would have been raccoon face or something. I really don't know how that worked out. But she was the favorite. But God had His plan, and He gave Rachel two fairly famous, one extremely famous, Joseph, and was colored, coat of many colors, and how he brought Israel down. But it was through Leah, the shunned wife, that God sent the preparation for Jesus. And she was a strong mother and raised them strong. Now, there are a tremendous number of women in the Bible. Now, you expect on Mother's Day we would talk about Eve, you know, the mother of all living things, and what all she did, and the first woman. I don't want to talk about Eve. You know about Eve. And you thought, well, we talk about Mary. I mean, it's Mother's Day. Mary, the mother of Jesus. The woman who said, when the angel said, you're going to have a child, how can I? I'm but a virgin. Then finally, when she was convinced what was going to happen, she said one of my favorite quotes in the entire Bible. With God, nothing is impossible. And we find out that that was true, because with God through the Holy Spirit, she became pregnant and she bore Jesus. I don't want to talk about Mary. You've heard about Mary. We can talk about her first cousin, Elizabeth, or Liz if you want to. Probably not Elizabeth. Who was old, again, like Sarah, who wanted desperately to have a child. And God sent her John the Baptizer. Now, I'm not calling him John the Baptist, because he did not start the Baptist church. He's John the Baptizer. That's what he did. And in her olden age, God gave her what she'd asked for. But you know about that story. We've talked about that every Christmas. I don't want to talk about her. But there's a lot of other women that are mentioned in the Bible. A matter of fact, I have a book. I actually have a book. And I've got a bad joke about it, so I'm not going to tell it. Called All the Women of the Bible. It is an extremely interesting book. Because it not only talks about the famous ones, it talks about some who are not that famous. Tamar. What a story Tamar has to give. She was married to the son of Judah. Her son, her husband, was killed because he was unfaithful to God. She was due another son to become her husband, the Levite law. Judah wouldn't do it. She got herself pregnant by Judah, intentionally, by trickery. Because she knew her responsibility was to have a child. And that child became the ancestor of all of King David's family, all the way through Jesus. She's one woman who made up her mind to do what is right. We don't lift her up enough. Matter of fact, we very seldom talk about her at all. But how many women do you know that have done the right thing, even when it was hard? My grandmother raised 6 children during the Depression. Now, folks, if you heard your mother or grandmother talk about what they had to do during the Depression, you know, to have chicken soup, you kill a chicken, have a pot of boiling water, dunk it in, and save it for the next day so you could dunk it again, you know, that type of a stuff, and make things worse. So was my grandmother, that even in the 60s, 1960s, she was in her 70s, you know, that she would send me out the yard to cut what I call yard clippings. You know, nowadays you pay extra for a salad that has that ugly looking lettuce in it. Right, those are weeds. But she had been so used to cooking weeds for her family, she got used to them. Dock and greens, turnip greens. Yeah, don't get me started. These women had a tough time, and they made it happen. Potiphar's wife. Now there's a good one. Tried to seduce the young innocent boy. She wasn't a good story. See, the Bible's full of stories of the good ones and the bad ones. Rahab. Oh my goodness. Starts out as the city prostitute. Ends up becoming in the line of Jesus. Because she was faithful to the spies that came in and saved their lives so that Jericho could be conquered and defeated by God's army. See, sometimes, ladies, you're only given one job to do, one chance. Several of my favorite women growing up were my school teachers. One of them, particularly Mrs. Gooch. I ended up teaching school with her 25 years later. Little tidy women. The woman never got married, never had children, but she loved every one of us like we were hers. And some of you have probably been helped by a good school teacher or a counselor, a scout leader, someone who brought the refreshments for your soccer game. Or maybe you were that person as well. It turned out good. My two favorite ones, one would be, of course, Ruth. Remember Ruth married after her husband came over from Israel during a famine, and she married a Jewish man, and he died, and his brother died, and his father died, and her mother-in-law said, well, I'm going back home. I've got a kinsman who is required and obligated to take care of me. You stay here. You're young enough. Marry one of your own kind and be fruitful and happy. Raise children. And that famous line, whither thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And with that, she sealed her fate, because she had faith in Jehovah God that it would work out. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, we are told. Those who guide our young children make a difference in their lives. And then, of course, Ruth marries Boaz and becomes the great-grandmother of David, the king. Here's a good one. Jezebel. My grandfather's word for any painted or tainted woman, that Jezebel. The story of her and how she brought Israel to the worship of Baal with her mean husband Ahab, and how she worked against the prophets and the teachers. See, a good woman has a lot of influence, but so does a bad woman. And the challenge that you have, ladies, is to be that good woman and the difference you can make. The Mary and the Mary Martha and the Mary Magdalene and all those ladies who followed Jesus' ministry and probably helped support it greatly. They didn't have, Jesus and the apostles did not have time to work, but they had to have food and lodging and things to do, and they supported the ministry. Priscilla, the wife of Aquila, who worked with Paul and gave them a place to be. Phoebe, a leader in the church, took care of the women, helped them out in their needs. Eunice, Eunice and Lois, the mother and the grandmother of Timothy. Now here he was, half Greek and half Jewish, and his mother's influence and his grandmother's influence were so strong that he became an assistant and helper to the apostles and traveled with Paul just from the influence of the women around him. How great that is. And what we must understand is we can be that influence, whether it's our own bloodline or whether it's those around them. I want to tell you, her name was Ann Jarvis. Ann Jarvis was an anti-war advocate right at, during and after the Civil War. She had rallies for peace. She had rallies to welcome home injured sons and husbands and friends and to bury the dead. In 1868, right after the Civil War, she was campaigning around for as a peace advocate. It didn't work too well. She had things called the Mother's Friendship Day to reunite family days after the Civil War. For, as you know, and it wasn't just the Missouri and Kentucky and some Tennessee that men fought on both sides in the same family. She pushed for the forgiveness and reunion through the churches and through the sermons that they would come back together. She tried to organize big groups, but it didn't go over too well. After she died, her daughter Anna wanted to do the same thing. She had loved her mother, and she went on a campaign until the day she died to bring the recognition to mothers to the United States of America. She started out by having Children's Day, and she called it Temperance Day, and Roll Call Day, Decisions Day, Missionaries Day, and a lot of things. She got involved with a lady called Julia Ward Howe. Remember that name? Julia Ward Howe? Can you say the writer of Uncle Tom's Cabin? They worked together for the mothers' movement and the peace movement, and they were all tied together. Well, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and a couple other Michigan towns would have a celebration or two, but it never caught on. Until finally, after years and years of begging by Anna Jarvis, she got to a couple governors who started declaring a Mother's Day for the recognition of women. Some called it Mother's Day, others called it Women's Day, for the recognition of women and how they had helped the United States in all the war times and the peace times as well. They became involved also in the women's suffrage movement and the temperance movement. I guess when you're a leader, you try to be a leader of a lot of different things, and they were involved in that so much. Eventually, she teamed up with a guy by the name of John Watermaker, who was a big store owner in the city of Philadelphia. And there, until her death, they would have events for Mother's Day. It wasn't until 1915 that the Open Recognition got involved. They urged that penny postcard. Can you remember a penny postcard? No. Can you remember a penny postcard? You got the postcard and the picture and a stamp for a penny. Because back then you could have a Tootsie Roll Pop for a penny, too. The penny postcards. She went to the University of Notre Dame. And one of the whole classes, I don't know, the junior or senior class, decided they would all send a penny postcard to their mothers for Mother's Day. Because once you went to university back then, you didn't travel back and forth very much. That, of course, was the birth of Mother's Day cards. The problem with Mother's Day cards is they're expensive. What's one now cost? $4, $5, $6? Anna Jarvis was so upset. She begged the people not to observe Mother's Day anymore because it got too commercial. At her church, she had bought herself 500 carnations. Here's where the carnations come from. To give out to all the women of the church. Come to find out that the florist did not have 500 white carnations in May. May 9th was the day that was picked because it was her mother's birthday. Did not have 500 white carnations, so he gave her 250 pink ones to wear if your mother's alive, and 250 white ones to wear if your mother had passed. Can any of y'all remember the ladies wearing corsages with pink and white? I'm that old, I can remember it. Didn't know what it was, but I remember seeing it, the corsages. Nowadays, we don't do much for corsages. Everybody's allergic. They sneeze and all those type of things. But that took on, and the National Florist groups took on with that. Eventually, President Woodrow Wilson, about 1914, declared a Woman's Day, Mother's Day, and anniversary celebration. But the problem is, he said it's only to welcome back the dead from World War I, like we call now the Blue Star, Gold Star mothers, that was tied all in together. It wasn't for another 15 years that the Congress voted a Mother's Day observation as a holiday. And in this, I want to give you the exact date. This one killed me when I read it. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Not there. Not there. Not there either. 1990, I have a date, it's lost. May 2008, the U.S. House of Representatives voted twice on a resolution commemorating Mother's Day. The first one passed without dissent, but 21 members refused to vote. You had 21 people, and the House of Representatives refused to commemorate Mother's Day. I've yet to figure that one out. Give respect where it's due. Now, ladies, I don't think there should be a Mother's Day, the second Sunday of May. I think there should be 365 Mother's Days because we all had mothers. Now, some of you all had great mothers and grandmothers that took care of you, and it was a pleasant experience. Some of you all, regretfully, had some tough times growing up. And the mother wasn't June Cleaver. Or, let's leave it to Beaver. June Cleaver. Wasn't all the June Cleavers. Or the, What is the other one? Donna Reed, yeah. I mean, there were some tough times. But yet, I will guarantee all of us that we have had women in our lives that have made us what we are now. Amen. And for that, look back to Jesus. God did not just have a baby show up in a basket from the stork that delivers pickles. Glassic pickles. You may tell your children that long time ago that's how it happened. I'm pretty sure that is not how it happened since I was there when my daughter was born. But he gave his son to be developed, carried by, and delivered by a woman, and to be guided by. We don't know much about what Joseph did, do we? Except he was a carpenter. But don't we hear all the way through his life and through the ministry that Mary watched and cherished in her heart what Jesus did. Irma Bombeck has a poem, and part of it says, God could not be everywhere, so he created mothers. On this day of celebration, and at the age of most of us in here, our mothers are not alive. But hopefully we have some good memories. And hopefully all of us in here, and men, we need to get a little active too, can be mentors and helpers of those who need guidance. Because when that little baby comes in the world, or that little one-year-old looks up with tears in its eyes, or that five-year-old doesn't know which way to keep on a bicycle without falling off, and on, there are things that we can do. I love our ladies' groups here. The ding-a-lings that Norm and I accidentally are allowed to play in. Accidentally, is maybe the better answer. The work with the loving hands, the sewing and the stitching and the things that are given out. There's a lot of things that we can do. And I intentionally think that this is another thing we can do as well, to make sure that every baby has a chance to be born and grow up to be the potential that God put within them. Matter of fact, I hope we all reach the potential that God put within us, not just the babies, but we as adults. That's why we have church, to come and understand God's love and what he's given to us. The privilege we have far exceed what we deserve, and the gifts that are promised. Take John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, there you may be also. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The things that he's done for us far exceed what we'd expect or what we deserve. But he did us because he loved us. Our hymn of invitation decision today is hymn number, Caroline?
247.
Stand with me as we sing hymn number 247.
Two 47.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace's hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
So privileged to be in the house of the Lord today together. This moment we'll be going over next door for a time of fellowship. Come over and join us.